Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another Remap interview. We've had a great time doing a bunch of these on the podcast feed since we made the transition from Waypoint to Remap, and I am glad to have someone else joining us this week. Although I don't know when this podcast is going to run. We recorded a bunch in advance, and so this will be in the mix eventually, and who knows what things will change between now and then, between Ubisoft comments, Xbox, maybe getting out of physical, but we'll try and touch on a little bit of everything with John Smith, who is the head of retail over at Limited Run Games, a company I've mentioned a number of times on the podcast, because I feel like a lot of what they're up to is kind of foretelling where the video games industry is going, because other industries, other mediums like movies have already trended in a direction in which we are likely headed to a, however sad, world where there are fewer guarantees that a game you like is going to get a physical copy. But if it has a sort of cult status or a niche, or it has an audience, there's a chance that you could get a limited run of that game in order to get access to it. So on that wonderful dad joke, look, you got a 2-year-old, I got a 7 and a 4-year-old. So like I had to sneak one in there somewhere. And I promise you, I didn't write that down. I was not reading from a sheet. That is just right off the dome, just the good stuff from Patrick. But John, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for letting me be here. I see what you did there. That's just so good.
When I felt it coming in, the dad joke sometimes arrives, and I could have suppressed it, could have not said it.
I saw the groundwork being laid like a heated driveway, and I knew it was coming.
See, that is a true Remap listener, knowing a heated driveway reference. You know, and obviously there are many things we could talk about in the world of video games, but I just have to know, John, like, are you pro or anti Justin Fields?
Honestly, okay, real talk.
You're from Chicago, so I had to at least completely sidebar this conversation right off the bat and establish
I was half expecting a Justin Fields or a Kelce question, like, you know, with Taylor Swift being out there. I was like, it's going to be one of the two. I don't know, man. He sure does play football.
He sure does. He throws the ball and he sometimes runs it. The next gen stats tells me that is true.
It's like, I would love to have an opinion, but it's just, okay. The Bears are the Bears. I appreciate y'all giving me the update so I don't have to check in and be sad in real time.
That's true. Well, being a Bears fan is just being perpetually sad, but we can be that vehicle to process the sadness for you, so you can focus on perhaps more meaningful things in your life than the Chicago Bears.
The sports pod can be catharsis for many of us. So
yes. So you are the head of retail over at Limited Run. What does that mean exactly? Why don't you break it down for folks?
It's jack of all trades, master of hopefully some. long short of it. Basically, I oversee all of our wholesale stuff with our mom and pop shops. So if there's like a local game store that orders some of our product in, they're usually talking to me. Also deal with obviously all of our retail footprints, which means PAX, San Diego Comic-Con. So if we're at one of those big events, I'm probably going to be there in some capacity, making sure nothing is on fire and everything is going the way it should be. And then as of a couple of years ago, almost at this point, almost 2 years, our brick and mortar store out in Cary, North Carolina. So between talking with a bunch of folks all over the country, traveling, and also running a video game store of our own, I keep myself busy, more or less.
Well, I think most people, when they think of the term retail, they think of the thing that probably you maybe interface with the least, which is probably the actual physical single store you have in one mall that I think I saw this correctly when I was looking through some images like on Google, that is, I guess it's closed 4 days a week. It's just a Friday, Saturday, Sunday joint.
Yeah, no, it's what I lovingly refer to as appointment shopping. It's like, no, like if you want to come to the store, we're open on the weekends. Bright neon, crane games, smell of popcorn. I'm not kidding. We have an aroma thing that makes it smell like popcorn because that's the vibe we're going for.
popcorn being created on the site.
I tried to pitch that at one point. I was like, you know, we could save money on all this wax burning and just buy like a popcorn machine that I could hook up in the back and just we could snack on it all day. It gives my team something to be excited about. And evidently something about food safety. They were like, John, we can't sell popcorn.
We don't want to poison the people coming through. I have a question though, then, very specifically, because you mentioned a claw machine. You're not there yet. Your kid is younger. You'll get there. Mm-hmm. This will torment you. And maybe as a result of this conversation, you'll change your policy in your store. Based on what you say, you might answer correctly. You could answer incorrectly. I'm not sure. We'll get there. But claw machines are delightful. They're also a nightmare. They're specifically engineered to, if people don't know how a claw machine works, generally speaking, like it's has very little to do with skill. It's just when you put the money in, is that son of a bitch tight enough? Because it alternates the grip on which it's going to grab the material over time. And that's the game. Mm-hmm. Like that's mm-hmm. like so that mm-hmm. they don't immediately go out of stock or one person shows up and takes everything out. But you know, they're expensive. They're never a quarter these days, John. They're a dollar. They could be $2. And you know who's fucking bad at claw machines? Like a 7-year-old. And so, you know, we went to, I say all this to say, I was in Wisconsin this weekend and we went to a restaurant and they had a claw machine. And I was about to say no until there was a very important sticker on that claw machine. Play until you win. And I said, fine, you can go to that claw machine because I know I'm not going to have 3 out of 4 crying children because we've burned through $20 and have nothing to show for it. So you tell me, what's the rule on your claw machine at the store?
Okay. All right. So here's how this works. All right. I'm going to be frank with you. I feel like we are being open with one another. I don't want to lie to the public. It is a claw machine. It's $1 a play. Inside the claw machine are exclusive stuffed animals, the Shantae stuffed plushes that you can only get at the store.
Okay.
So they are incredibly unique.
All right.
And so that being said, the way we set our machine is fair. I'll say that. I've had to refill it.
What can you set? Can you adjust how much you're exploiting the people? But I'm sorry, the wrong term. The paying customers of your establishment. Can you adjust the parameters of it? Like essentially.
So, I might be breaking Carney code, but I don't think that applies to me. Breaking kayfabe here. So no, on a claw machine, you can adjust the grip at 2 different points. The grip at how tight it is at pickup, and then how tight it is it holds it when it gets to the top. So think about it. Like when it goes down, right, it grips, holds, and then it gets to the top, and then there's that waggle, right? And you arguably want to make sure the grip is also tight there. Now, part of the "quote unquote fun of a crane game is watching it fall because you were
yeah,
so absolutely. Close.
As a 38-year-old, I understand yes. that. I've just gained I've gained a new appreciation for the frustration of the claw machine through the eyes of my children and how quickly the singles just disappear.
Yeah, no, it's we literally before we opened, not when I say 2 days straight, I don't mean someone sat there for like 48 hours playing the crane machine, but before the store opened, we had bunch of our folks from the company come through and I was like, okay guys, we're tweaking settings on this thing. I need to make sure it's fair because we are going to have kids play this thing. Like I need to make sure that it rides that line of like, it's like, is the Crane game terrible? No. You're good. Jake, give it another go. I promise.
But how are you adjusting? Like, what are the numbers on it that you're shifting?
See, Patrick, it's a knob. It's two knobs.
It's just two knobs. It's just hard, easy. Like, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, hey, more grip, less grip.
Interesting.
And I just go, a little more?
I came out of this looking up how much this little claw machine, because it's like a mini UFO one. Mm-hmm. It was really delightful. And it looks like I could buy one for myself for like the low cost of $650. And then I was like, my kid was like, if you bought one, what did you put in it? Toys? I was like, I don't know. Like, can I put beers in there? Like, is that like, I can shake a beer up as it goes along and gets dropped into the machine?
You got to get big brained, parenting big brained. Uh-huh. You got to, yes. They get in trouble. You put their stuff in there and it's like, you can get it
That's
back.
True.
When you want it.
That's true. I like
it's
this.
Like
this
that,
is diabolical.
That chore money that you've earned. Mm-hmm. Guess what? You can put that right back into the Crane machine to get your controller back.
And I've got the keys. So this really works in my favor. back on track. To whatever track that we're on. The reason, you know, you reached out because of a conversation we did on Remap that was in light of some comments from an executive at Ubisoft about, mm-hmm. I say the quote was a little clumsy, but it got at a general trend in that we're seeing in video games, which is, and we're seeing this in all media, right? Like I see this with my kids, like trending towards this understanding, this expectation that, you're going to be able to access kind of whatever you want at any time. It's in digital. It's through an app. And the idea of physically owning, whether it's a book or a movie or increasingly now video games, like that's going to be a rarity, or is going to be broadly handled by companies like yourself. And that for most people, they will be okay with, whether by choice or just trend line, and it's probably a little bit of, you know, it's a bit of both. It's companies setting ourselves up in this direction, but also you look at the habits of young people and like they don't seem to take issue with it. And so that prompted you to reach out to me and then us to set up this conversation. But I wonder, how would you describe how Limited Run views themselves, I guess, now as we increasingly head towards a world where this feels very real, there are forces at play that aren't going to stop this. And it seems like you guys are a cog in a new machine that's going to kind of represent where a lot of video games are headed 10 years from now.
Yeah, sure. It's funny because our motto at the company has always been forever physical. That's just sort of been the mantra going forward with all of us. We sort of come at the whole current situation, but even before then, from two different places, really. The first is obviously there is the preservation standpoint of just like being able to sit there and have access to that thing. Cause I mean, Lord knows how many times we've done the Netflix HBO Max thing of, well, this was streaming on here before and now it's not, et cetera, et cetera. The digital storefronts come and go, Nintendo taking down the different eShops and all that stuff, right? Like people get concerned about like, hey, if I bought a thing, do I actually have it? Right. Yeah. And we wanted to make sure that we were creating a product that you could sit there and go, no, this is mine. I have this and I know I'll be able to play it. Part of one of the reasons that I got brought in a couple of years ago was I believe there is a power in going back to the kid conversation. I think this is full circle here. There's a power to holding something in your hands. Mm-hmm. You sit there and being able to, you can look at a game on a digital storefront, right? Whether it's PSN, Xbox, Nintendo Online, and be like, I think I want that, but I'm not too sure how I feel. But when you pick physically up a box of something, right, the power being like, oh, this is in my hands. I can have this now. the magic of just being like, I could walk out the door with this and just have it. There's something really special about that, right? There's something really special being like looking on a shelf and seeing your collection of whatever it is you're into, right? I know you're a horror movie guy, right? So mm-hmm. You look at your shelf of the different movies you're on and sort of there's a pride might not be the right word. There might be some shame for some of us for how big the shelves can get, but just being like, hey, yeah, this is, this is the stuff I love and I care about, right? This is my hobby that I'm super into, right? The games I have on my shelf, or like the books I have on my shelf, right? It's like, hey, they, for better or for worse, say something about me. Cause I'm like, hey, I have these and you can look at them and you can get a read, from someone or about someone from that. And so we like being able to provide that sort of feeling for others, right? And then obviously if we're able to do like some higher end collector's editions or something, right? Like something they can be really excited about, where it's like, hey, I really care about this game. I want to display that. I want to show that, right? I want to be able to celebrate that, right? In some form or fashion, you know? But yeah, like we care deeply about being able to produce something and let people have something that they know that they have, period. End of story, right? And obviously with the way things are trending, it makes things more interesting for us. Like, not even gonna lie, right? talking about whenever this comes out. Yeah, the is Xbox still gonna make a box, right? Is the PlayStation whatever?
And that box could be a couple. On the week you're talking about, that box could mean, are they putting out games in physical form or like a literal console 10 years from
right?
now?
Right, exactly.
But it's moving in that you know, however fast an Xbox gets there versus a Nintendo versus a Sony, like, but everyone seems to be on roughly the same track. Like, within our lifetimes, like, will there always be hardware boxes and will there always be physical boxes containing a game or some media on it? Yes, but it does seem to be trending in towards the collector, the hobbyist, as opposed to how most audiences, regardless of medium, like, do their day-to-day interaction with it.
I mean, it's what we look at is we see this going similar to, I mean, ideally, knock on whatever piece of pick of wood around me, right? Most people listen to their music on Apple Music, Spotify, YouTube Music, pick your poison, right? But vinyl came back in a really big way and has been back and has remained back in a way that if you told me 10 years ago, hey, by the way, LPs are going to be a thing again, and that's how you're going to, like, that's going to be the niche way to be like, hey, I'm into music, look at this. I'd have been like, why? Like, that's what? Like, I remember the last time I saw a record player was, you know, but hey, that's how it went, right? Because that collector market, and more importantly, that those passionate fan base, like music fan base, right, sort of showed up for that as a medium to be like, hey, no, like, we think this matters, right? And we think that physical products in the gaming space are probably going to go a similar way, right? Just like, hey, yeah, the people who get and buy our games, right? They're the games that we produce or make, right? Are ones who are passionate about it, right? They're ones who care deeply about whatever the title is or about, I mean, we have folks who have bought effectively every single game we've put out because they have that collector bug to be like, oh yeah, this is title number 528 and I have the other 527. By God, I can't stop now. And I'm like, oh, I mean, sure. Yeah, no, that's right. You should. Yes, by all means, please and thank you. But yeah, like I don't think anyone would argue that gaming is going towards a much more digital space. I mean, that it happened to music. It happened to movies, right? It's happened. I mean, even in the comic space, right? I mean, people have Marvel Unlimited, whatever the DC one is. Things are moving increasingly digital, right? But in all of those, you still have 4K releases of movies, right? You still have print comic books. You still have, like I said, albums coming out on vinyl. And I mean, you still find a CD release every once in a while if you're real crazy.
If you're Taylor Swift, you know what I mean? I feel like you can tell that to us as like when you go places like Target, like, what are they still putting out? They're only putting out the things that they know X, you know, they got enough data. Mm-hmm. They know, like, what's going to move. And I feel like whenever I go, you know, they're all saying God bless Taylor Swift for her to re-release all these old albums over. So, like, we could put up a big Taylor Swift standee and that moves. But I feel like a lot of that, what you're getting at is, like, a sense of scale, right? Like, one of the huge shifts that's happening here, and I have to imagine you've witnessed some of this as the company has expanded and gotten into different things, is why did like something like E3 originally exist? It was to try and get a sense of the scale of interest in a product so that when you had to physically produce an expensive cart, you could budget appropriately. And then, as the the physical mediums got cheaper with CDs, DVDs, and things like that. It was very easy to just produce as many as you want or need, and because the actual production, but like, you guys have come at it from the other end where, like, how do we produce the least, like, amount of them to scale up over time? But, like, the death of physical is as much a audience habitual change as much as it's, like, a cost, like, effect. Like, it's just, at the end of the day, way cheaper to just run server farms and to pay platform holders than it is to create physical boxes that, what do you do if they don't sell? If a digital game doesn't get sold, you don't take a loss on it. It's just a sale that didn't happen. But a box that needs to, like, be reclaimed, like, that becomes its own problem.
Oh, for sure. I mean, like I said, the way we go about it, right, is 1,000% that. I mean, people ask, they're like, oh, yeah, like, you guys are doing all these different collector's editions, all these different things, right? And the funny thing is that we always have to remind folks, we're like, hey, a lot of stuff goes into the production of all of these different things, right? We don't manufacture our little standees or our little pewter statues or any of that stuff in-house. We work with other partners to get that stuff to us, right? And obviously the costs of all that stack up over time. And so it's like, hey, yeah, making sure that we are producing, by doing a limited number, we're able to sit there and actually maintain cost in the way that things stay not just viable for us, but be successful.
What have you, no, it's because you go to, you know, things like PAX, you go to these events where you see people in person, you run a store. Imagine, like, a lot of your demographic are people that, like, roughly the same age as you and I and up, right? Like, we're talking late 30s, 40s, 50s, people who are nostalgic for a certain era. There's a reason certain eras of video games are the kinds of stuff that Limited Run often specializes in, like, collections of older school games and things like that. What do you notice about, like, the kids that come through? Like, because I imagine a lot of these people are bringing their kids with, wanting to, either because it's on the way to something or they want to share it with their kid. I'm wondering, like, what you notice, because you mentioned this idea that there is something sort of magical and we feel it, but it's like an open question. I'm like, will, like, future generations, like, younger generations, still feel that? And I have to imagine you must see, like, physically see this sometimes with parents coming through with their kids.
It's arguably one of the, when I get to be at the store, it's probably one of my favorite parts. It's why I've been in, like, people facing industries for God knows too long at this point, is that moment of, like, when a kid sees something that, like, just makes their day. I mean, one of my kid, like, just sees his favorite bear and he forgot that it was there because his object permanence is 2 seconds. Like, and he's just like, oh my God. And I'm like, yeah, I get to see that.
You've been
at work
gone
too,
my whole life, Barry.
Right? Mr. Bear was gone. He's gone, disappeared. But no, like, kids come in the store and yeah, sometimes it's because they were running around the shopping center and saw big pink neon lights and were like, hello, you're speaking directly to my child brain. I'm seeing pretty colors. What is this? Or sometimes this is, yeah, like, dad has brought them in and we have obviously a retro collection there because, hey, you can't have a physical store that cares about physical media and not do the retro thing. And so they might be coming in trying to find an old, like, 64 cart or something. And then the kid walks in, sees just these walls of games and books and, like, stuffed animals, you know, of different stuff, right? I've yet to see a kid that's walked in the door and hasn't had that glazed over look in their eye of just like, oh my gosh, you know, deer in headlights, just like, what is this place? And yeah, no, I mean, the fun part of just seeing them find something on the wall and then just sit there and just run to their parent and be like, hey, what's this? This looks cool. Because I mean, you can't even do that, like, at Target or, like, Walmart or even hardly GameStop nowadays.
No, being able to actually pick something. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So being able to sit there and grab it and be like, see the new, like, see Shredder's Revenge or something, right? This turtle's gonna go, it's turtles. And it's like, yeah, it is turtles. It's pretty sick. Like, and just seeing that excitement there, right, is something that, like, hey, yeah, this is why I do what I do, right? It's just like, yeah, man, I like making people smile one way or another. And if that happens to be through video games, that's fine by me. PAX is such an interesting thing in the con scene for sure. Because yeah, at the store we'll see a lot of families and we'll see obviously fans who have like traveled in because it's the only limited run store out there. It's where we'll have stuff that's obviously been long off of because everything's all pre-order based, right? And once those are shipped out, that's it. So hey, the store is the only place you can pick up something that you might have missed, assuming you have any left.
Yeah, you must have people flying across the country like because they missed out on one or other thing.
I have a couple guys who come in. One from New York City. I see one from Cali who come in every three or so months. One guy shows up and it's like, I say it's cool. Like it couldn't be me, but I say it's cool. He shows up with a suitcase and he's like, listen, I was like, yeah, I know. And he will literally fill up the suitcase with the games. And he flies back on his, like after his meeting with his suitcase full of limited run stuff. And I'm just like, man, thank you. That's awesome. Also, if I did that, my wife would kill me.
Amazing.
But yeah, so like you get that action, right? You get the families, you get the people traveling into the store. Current record, I think, is New Zealand, Australia. Anyway,
okay,
neither here nor there. PAX and SDCC, NYACC, pick your con, right? Mm-hmm. It's super interesting because obviously a lot of people of varying ages come to like PAX and different things, right? For tons of different reasons. Some people come for the board game stuff. Some people come for the panels. Some people come for, like I said, the merch and everything, right? And we will see massive just age range in the folks who come because obviously we don't just do, you know, like we've done like the Castlevania Advance and Contra collections and stuff like that, right? But we've also done stuff like Night in the Woods or Unpacking. We did the physicals for Moon. Obviously the inspiration for Undertale and all that fun stuff. And that gets a different fan base coming through. Right. And so we'll have, you will see specifically the two types of customers come through. It's like, oh, hey, I need to get I saw you have this collection. That'd be awesome. And someone's like, I heard you had Unpacking here. And it's like, I do. I do have Unpacking. Would you like the cool cardboard slipcase over it to make it look like it's a box?
Wow. There you go.
It's adorable, honestly. I'm not even gonna lie. It's also real hard to get out once you get it in there, but it is a box. I don't know what you were expecting. But no, like you'll have all sorts of different folks come in, right? And I mean, what's interesting is the same is true of everyone. Everyone's excited that there's just a copy of that game there. And most of our folks will tell us, especially at the conventions, well, I've already played this, right? I love this game. Or, hey, I played it and I want my friend to play it. And this is the easiest way for me to sit here and be like, hey, I'm buying this and I'm just giving them this cart, right? It's like, go play XYZ, right? And just seeing that breadth. Because yeah, like when I first came into the company, I sort of expected it to be like, oh, I bet our age, I bet our demographics probably skews male, probably a little older, like I said, around our age, like 38, pushing 40, right? Like we remember the world before the internet, blah, blah, blah. Elder millennials. But being just amazed, getting to see obviously the sales data of just everyone be like, oh, we are hitting all sorts of demos here. And as obviously a retail person, that's super exciting for me, because that means I have a lot of folks I can reach out to and a lot of folks that we can obviously appeal to through a variety of different things. But yeah, the PAX trips are always the most entertaining customer wise. Cause yeah, you just get to see folks from all over the country at that point. Not just like, oh yeah, we're in Seattle and we're not based in Seattle, but like, oh, we flew in from XYZ place. And now it's like, cool, we're connecting with effectively our worldwide fan base at that point. And just seeing that passion for physical media, like spread out, not just in folks who grew up on The Lion King on VHS, right? But folks who were obviously have never seen a rewind button in their life, being super stoked for the fact that like, oh, I'm holding this copy of Knights of the Old Republic, like on the Switch, and I can sit here and be like, this can be on my shelf and I can play it now. Right. That's super cool for us. Right. And I mean, it bodes well for where we think our future is going forward. Being able to sit there and meet the needs of those very passionate folks who care very deeply about games, who see them as more than just, you know, like, oh, hey, it's something I play and I'm done with. Right. It's like, no, hey, I like this medium. I enjoy this piece of work, whatever that is. Being able to then hold on to that and be able to pass that along to folks.
The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season 2 of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season 2 is out now from Lemonada Media.
Yeah, I mean, I see this in even just small ways with my kids. Who my oldest, she got one of my hand-me-down Switches when she was taking my Switch OLED all the time, and I was like, okay, fine, let me open up this drawer full of stuff. Like, you can have the old launch Switch. And she was obviously, she doesn't know the difference in like a display technology, so she was just over the moon to have like her own thing. And then when she realized at a certain point, you know, for a while I had my account on there so that she could just download whatever I got through work. And that meant that covered a lot of potential stuff she was interested in, a lot of Nintendo games. And then at a certain point we went to the library, and hey, if you've never gone to the library to like rent games, a number of libraries have surprisingly robust and modern and more or less, like, they're like a month behind, but like a lot of good shit's happened at the library if you haven't been one in a while, just putting it out there. And she was able to have that kind of limited, like that kind of, because the library, I think, as a lot of retail storefronts kind of go by the wayside, weirdly, the library becomes sort of like the stand-in for that experience of just browsing through things and kind of letting your mind wander and experiment. And when she said, wait, do they have video games here? It's like, probably. And we found them, and like her eyes bugged out when she saw an entire shelf of these games she could go through. And, you know, she's, you know, 7, so a lot of it doesn't really apply to her or has too much reading, but they had Minecraft at one point, and she already has Minecraft on her iPad. Like that's where she usually plays it, but she's like, wait, it's on this little thing. And since then, like for her birthday and Christmas, like, when I see that a game has stuck with her, where it's not just a passing interest, but it is a game that she really enjoys, I end up doing the thing that us elder millennials are doing, which is just like, here's a physical version of that. And then she gets to put it in a little slot in her, you know, in her case. And when I was in Wisconsin, we went up with some neighbors and my kids' best friends, and they were comparing the carts that they had in their little slot. And like, it was just like, it's a little thing. Does it mean that like, physical is coming back, baby, to video games? But I think it goes to show what you're talking about, which is, at the end of the day, wherever all this goes, there is something about, and probably always will be something about, just because of the way our bodies work and touch, like there is something about having a physical manifestation of something that we're interested in. And I think there will continue to be that in unexpected, like we can't necessarily predict what these younger generations, what they're going to respond to. They could turn games into vinyl in a way that would surprise us, you know, 20 years from now, that you just can't know at the moment. When, and folks like yourself are at least on the tip of the spear of figuring out what's happening in that, these transition periods along the way.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely one of those things where I would like to believe there are people far smarter than myself who also work at the company who were able to sit here and really prognosticate a bit better than I could, for sure. But it's one of those things where we think that, yeah, that because of that feeling there, right, what you described with your kid, and obviously what I luckily get to see at the convention scene and at the store and just hearing stories from obviously the different stores we've partnered with, right? There is something very special about that moment of just holding something and be able to do something with it, right? I remember when I was getting the store layout set and talking to my team and being like, hey guys, this is how we, I was like, I want this to be the most touchy-feely store that mm-hmm. you can, I want customers and people to feel free to pick up and touch anything, right? Because that connection point is sort of where the magic is, right? Of just being able to sit there and be like, hey, yeah, like this, that thing you're looking at, no, go ahead, pick it up, take a look at it, right? No, let your kid pick that up. That's totally fine, right? We live in a world where we tell kids to put their hands in their pockets and just be like, hey, just be chill, be cool. And mm-hmm. I tell every parent that comes through, I'm like, hey, no, let your kid walk around. We want to, it's interesting that you mentioned sort of the library, the feeling of being able to browse, right? That's something that we definitely try to cultivate at that brick and mortar store. It's just like, hey, no, like you come in, you can chat with my team. You can chat with me if I'm there, right? You can wander around the store. We have folks who come in and just hang out and just sit there. We have folks who sit there and come in and they go, hey, John, I know, you know what I've been looking for, right? And I'm like, yeah, I know you're looking for this game, this game, this game. It's like, have you got it? And I was like, yeah, I got it. I set it aside in the back for you. You're welcome, right? Like, it's all good. I know you're looking for this box 64 cart and you're a cool dude. So like, I got you covered. You're fine. But yeah, just sitting there and we're wanting to create not just a store, because I'd like to believe on some level, making a store successful, whether it's a video game or otherwise, as long as you're selling a product that people want, it's relatively easy. The product will sell itself most of the time, right? Mm-hmm. We're trying to create a community space. We're trying to create a place where people can feel comfortable bringing their kids, just hanging out, right? Being able to take time and like sort of share in that, ideally share joy of like our medium that we're all a part of in one way or another, right? And so far for us, that's been a success. And that's been exciting to see because it lets us know, hey, that this works, right? This is a thing that people that we would love to see grow in one way or another, right? And hopefully if things continue to go the way we're going, maybe we'll see more of that. But in the meantime, just being able to have that spot and see the love of games and the love of just that culture, right? Whether it's shared through parents, whether it's kids coming through, whether it's our fans, just being like, oh my God, I've been looking for this Blaster Master Zero for like 6 months and you guys have it. It's like, yeah, I do. It's sick, right? Ego. Enjoy. That's a cool experience. That's a cool thing to be able to do and a cool thing to be able to build out. And I'm lucky that LRG gives me the opportunity to do stuff like that on the reg.
See, the extreme of that, when I was a kid, Funko Lands were like all over the Midwest. Like,
oh, yeah.
That was like one of the predominant game stores. And the one... Yeah, they were. This one was an outdoor mall, the one that was nearest that we would go to all the time. But they eventually had to put up a sign that said, I don't remember the text, I was a kid, but it was like essentially like, we're not a babysitting service, because like parents would like drop their kids mm-hmm. off, you know, say, hey, can they try this game? And like, you know, they'd have like, you know, 15, 30 minute timers on these different kiosks before mm-hmm. you had to turn it over. And you'd see parents just like, set them up with a game, walk out the front door, like try and get some shopping done around the corner and come back. And eventually they had to start clamping down on that because the teenagers running the Funko Land were not necessarily equipped to be dealing with a tantrum from, you know, like a 10-year-old that got mad at a game.
As someone with roots in old school GameStop, EB Games, yes, no, I definitely have had our fair share of the lovely handwritten and Sharpie note on the window, please don't leave your child unattended. I luckily have not, we've not had that issue mm-hmm. at the retail mm-hmm. store in Cary, which mm-hmm. is nice. Parents bring in, it's a shared experience. That being said, we did have this one, what I would only call a pack of middle schoolers.
Oh.
I mean, like middle school, like, you know, young middle school kids. Like, listen, small groups, fine. But at some point they hit like a level of them, a number
uh-huh.
that it's like,
uh-huh.
all of a sudden it's like, oh, this is like watching wild animals just run through. And we definitely,
they could take me. Like, yeah,
exactly.
There's too many of them.
There's
like,
too many of them.
A couple of middle schoolers. I got it. Like, nine or 10 of them, they're taking me out.
like two, that's one for each arm. I'm fine. Right. You get like over five. It's like, oh no.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. They could rob me, I think. Like, and yeah, that was a fun night because they were just running around. And I'm like, you guys are old enough not to be doing this. Like, what are you doing? I was like, where are your adults? And then all of a sudden, a dad in a ball cap comes in. All right, boys, birthday time's over. And I was like, birthday time? Like, what is... Thank you for shopping. What? What happened here?
That is delightful. I'm glad to know that is still possible, even as in smaller doses than it was in the 90s.
The dream is still alive. You can still go to a game store and just
and scare the people with enough children running around. Now working at Limited Run Games, you've been there for a couple of years. What were your habits like with physical media? Like, were you like many of us in which I'm going increasingly digital? I didn't quite realize it. Like, what were your own relationship with physical media before you then signed up with a company that specializes in it?
Is
there a pressure? Like, are we calling out people in the office if they're like signing things up digitally instead of buying a physical? Like, oh, you do know they put out a 4K of that. Like, you don't have to get it on iTunes.
I don't judge anyone's movie habits. You know, like, here, just like, hey, however you want to consume your films, just, you know, make sure it's a wide selection, expand your mind. But no, it's my own personal, before I joined LRG, I found myself doing what I think a lot of us did, which was, slowly shifting to a digital purchase setup, right? Because it's like, okay, I was someone who, old habits died hard, even after long I had left, you know, game retail before I came back. I liked occasionally attending the quote midnight launch of just like, hey, you know what? It's a bunch of people. We're here. We're excited for whatever game it is that night. And yeah, let's do the thing. But as I got progressively older and midnight kept seeing like a later and later time, I was like, what if I just downloaded this and it was set my system time to West Coast or somewhere else, New Zealand, and all of a sudden, I'm playing this now at a brisk 7 p.m. Fantastic for me. but yeah, no, so, like, I found myself doing that, and where I eventually landed with my games as well as my movie collection was, like, I started buying stuff that I cared deeply about, where it's like, hey, like, no, this movie matters to me on some level, whether it's because I really love it or whether it's one that like, hey, I think this movie's good, but I think other people should see it. So like, I want to be able to sit there and be like, hey, you get to take the disc, right? You get to sit here and maybe it's a bad disaster of a movie, but I'm like, no, you need to, like, everyone should own a copy of The Room, right? It's not a great movie, but you should be able to sit there and give someone a copy of The Room, be like, you should watch this film. And so sit there and have that, like, my comic collection, my games, my movies became reflections of, hey, like, this is the stuff that, like, I want to not necessarily show off, but as much as be like, hey, this is the stuff that I'm into. This is the stuff that I have, like, emotional connections to. It's a good conversation starter. People see, like, David Ayer's Suicide Squad on your shelf and they're like, excuse me, why is that there? And I was like, well, let me tell you. I have some, like, you know, you sit there and people are just like, huh? And you're like, yeah, no, we're going to, congratulations. You've now started a 40-minute conversation. Let's go. You know, they see like a boxed copy of like Transistor, you know, on your shelf. And they're like, Transistor, not Bastion. That's what I was like, yeah, no, that's my super giant game of choice. Right. This is, you know, and yeah, no, when you join a company like LRG, all of a sudden, everyone's like, so Did you buy that game? It's like, well, yeah, I bought the game. Well, how'd you buy the game? And it's like, yeah, no. I see there's a bit of an understanding here. Cool. It's even funnier when we opened up the retail store, and then all of a sudden the office is just like, so John, you're getting physical copies in of like Final Fantasy Rebirth, right? It's like, it's like, yeah, no, I'm having those in. Cool. Yeah, good. And I'm like, guys, I don't want to be that guy, but did you pre-order a copy at our store? And they're like, did you not order enough? I'm so worried. And I'm like, guys, we have a system for a reason. I mean, it ain't broke. Don't fix it. Like, all you got to do is, like, bare minimum, let me know. We didn't even do that. Like everyone was like recently, depending on whenever this came out, like a lot of folks were like, John, you got infinite wealth, right? I need a physical copy of Infinite Wealth. And I'm like, yeah, no, I got like a dragon. You're good. Everybody calm down. And so, yeah, I'll sit there. And I mean, it is definitely one of the benefits of having our own brick and mortar is like, oh yeah, no, I ordered in physicals. Like it's good. I'm able to get the games that I want.
Do you order those through the companies directly, or is there like middlemen in between? Like when you want to say, I want, you know, 150 copies of Rebirth, mm-hmm. or whatever it is that you're getting for the store. How does that conversation happen? Like, what are the layers for that? And you said you worked in retail before.
Yeah.
I wonder if those layers have changed over the years.
It's a matter of scale, right? So like obviously ordering for Amazon, GameStop, what have you, right? Vastly different scale than it is for our one sweet baby child retail store that we have right now, right? And so for the store itself, we go through a middleman distributor in that case, right? Who work directly with Nintendo and Sony, because we're buying in much smaller quantities. Now, if we were doing quantities like, say, we do for, like, where are we putting it, ourselves, right? Like, hey, Sony, we're making... we want X amount of copies of this game done for obviously the customers that we've done for our LRG games. That's obviously we're going directly to the source on that stuff. But for the store, yeah, we're just going through a smaller distributor and doing stuff like that. And so that's always real fun because you get a lot of FaceTime with a bunch of different folks there. And they're like, John, hey, we looked like you gonna want any more of those Marios? And it's like, yeah, I would actually love some more Marios. That's super cool.
Do they just do video? Like, are these middlemen like? I imagine they're not just doing video games, right? Like they're middlemen for a wider range.
So it depends
products.
On the. Obviously, we've worked with a bunch of different folks before.
Okay.
That don't necessarily want to get into specifics, just for mm-hmm. business reasons and whatnot. But the one we use now is strictly video games, and I would say effectively video game paraphernalia. So it's like
okay.
can sit there, and it's like. You can get the new AAA releases, right? And like I said, generally most of our stock for our store is the limited run stuff, but we do want to have, you know, like, hey, when we know a new big Mario RPG came out, or when Mario Wonder came out, or Rebirth and hits, right? You want to have at least a small little shelf dedicated. You're like, hey, you came in here for our stuff, probably, but also if you want to pick up the copy of the new thing, we also have that too, right?
Sure.
But yeah, we'll sit there. And they will sit there and sell all the new AAA stuff. But then they'll also might be like, hey, man, Nintendo or Nintendo's partners released this new Mario Pez set. Are you interested in this Mario Pez set? And I'm like, do I want Pez? Does Pez sell well anymore? I remember it being a bad candy. I ate it as a kid, but like, do kids mm-hmm. sit there? I go to a friend of mine. I'm like, hey, does your kid eat Pez? Is that a thing still? Like, if I had a Mario Pez, would they be interested? John, I'm doing market research with my child. And I was like, I mean, sorry, not sorry. But like, well, yeah, like, do they like Pez? Is that a thing?
So, I would have told you yes. Like, the kids still like Pez.
Historically, we have found that, yeah, Pez moves. I don't, listen, man. I've, once again, as an adult, I've tried Pez and I'm like, I don't know.
It's not a good candy. It's the novelty of the dispense mechanism.
Yeah, like it's a step above.
That still hits.
It's a step above Smarties. Which I feel like mm-hmm. is the low bar of sugar-based hard candies.
Every time we have one of our in our pantry, like in the section that has like some of the candy, like there are like from Easter and things like that, some Pez dispensers, and every once in a while the kids will notice it and like their eyes light up. And it's not because they like the candy, but sometimes they'll try and cram different candy in there, and I'm like, sorry, mm-hmm. kid, like this is
no.
How do I explain proprietary. Dispensing mechanisms because these are meant for Pez, and putting an M&M in is not going to result in the same outcome that you're hoping for.
Yeah. Just also pro note for all the new parent listeners. Hey, don't hide candy in pill bottles. Kids start getting really confused. They're like, wait, mm-hmm. what? It's like, next thing you know, it's like, oh no. These are not M&Ms. You can't have these. That's not what's rattling in here.
where do you like in the arm of limited run that you work in, where do you see this going? Like, how far are you able to project out, or is everything so chaotic and shifting that it's sort of just year over year, we'll see where we're at? Or do you think about like where you'd want this to be, you know, 5-10 years if given the opportunity?
We definitely look, I mean, I feel like with what we do, we're, especially with current conversations, I think we're forced to look ahead. If we hadn't been already, which we were, I think definitely those conversations would be happening. I mean, and it's definitely something that like goes through the entire office, right? Whether it's the production, the art department, everybody, you hear stuff like that, right? The big CEO chat or, you know, leaks from Microsoft, what have you, right? All of a sudden you're like, okay, well, hey, like, where are we going, right? Like, are we good? And I mean, the thing is right now, yeah, we are good. Things have been going solid, right? And where we see stuff going and how we're doing effective future planning, right? We see ourselves being around for the foreseeable future, right? Where it's like, yeah, yes, we all know where stuff is headed, right? That doesn't mean there won't always be a niche or a desire for that thing, right? I think just because Best Buy is no longer stocking 4K movies, right? Or movies in general, physical products,
yeah,
period, right? They're still good. Movie companies will still release those for the people that care about them, right? I'm the sicko that gets excited when that 4K release of Heat hit, right? That's like fantastic, right? Companies like us are for people like me, right? It's just like, yeah, no, like I'm super excited to be able to meet that and have us meet that for others, right? Sit there and be able to be like, yeah, there always is going to be a need, or not a need, I should say, but there's always going to be a desire for physical media, right? Especially games as much as anything else, right? And I think part of our job going forward is making sure we're able to navigate whatever the changes that are coming in the next 5-10 years, being able to navigate those waters well and make sure that like we're still doing the thing that people love us for, you know, here 5-10 years down the road. I, going to stuff you mentioned on the other pods before, stability and whatnot, right? Like I said, I have this 2-year-old. I came in, the running joke is I got brought into the company to help launch the store. So I moved into the area, had this kid and opened the store all at the same time, effectively within the same 30-day period. Mm-hmm. All great things. Nothing I'd ever recommend doing all at once. That was a nightmare. But if I didn't think we would be here for a while, I wouldn't put my family, you know, in a place like that, right? It's like, no, hey, like I believe in what we're doing here, right? And I believe that we have a plan and that we have a really awesome future for, like, you know, the stuff that we're working on and stuff that we haven't announced yet. And just be like, hey, yeah, no, this stuff is, people are gonna be excited about what we're doing. And I think we will continue to make those decisions and continue to navigate the the treacherous waters that is what is an all digital future look like. I think we'll always have an answer to that, right? And I think it's always going to be something that folks are excited about and happy to take part in.
Well, speaking to that stability notion, I at least have to ask. Limited Run is owned by Embracer. You know, like a lot of the industry, like it's not limited to Embracer. Everyone cuts, layoffs happening, you know, up and down. Like, has that, once Embracer bought the company a couple of years ago, has it sort of just been doing what we were doing before? There just is a different person signing the checks, you know, anything that you can speak to, just sort of like how that process feels as there's so much tumultuous, you know, kind of chaos in the industry that seems to have not necessarily going to be ending anytime soon, sadly.
Honestly, when the acquisition happened, obviously it was really exciting for us on some level, just because, hey, it did mean more resources coming through for us to help us. Obviously, we've been a rapidly growing company since 2015, right? Which is exciting. But it also means that like a lot of us were used to a much more small business feel. And then obviously the rapid expansion of just like, oh we're right, big boys right now. Right. we got to figure this out.
People with real money, huh?
Right. It's like, we were in an article. Was it a good one? Yep. Awesome. Good for us. But we've been lucky. And I say lucky because obviously the industry and obviously with Embracer, even internally, things have been tumultuous. Things, obviously, cuts have been made at different places. We have been lucky to not have any of that hit us, which obviously makes everyone feel a bit more at ease is here for sure. But it's definitely one of those things to where it does encourage all of us here to make sure that we're bringing the best games to market the way that we do, right? With our limited run, the touch that we put to things, right? Makes us want to make sure that we're doing the best we can for our customers. Because yeah, like obviously everything out there feels like it can be on a knife's edge, right? Where it's just like, hey, I don't know how many posts I've seen across Blue Sky, X, Twitter, Instagram, what have you. It's like, hey, are we about to see another video game crash, right? Are we about to hit another ET moment? Right. And I think you can't work in this industry and not feel a little bit of that. But what's been good for us, despite everything happening sort of outside our walls at the moment, has been the fact that like we have been doing, we're doing well, right? Like there's, we are, as a company, we're fine, we're doing great. And so like there is sort of a safety in the knowledge of like, hey, things are good, right? And Embracer has been very excited to keep giving us the ability to continue to grow, to make sure we're being able to reach out to more folks more than ever, right? With our worldwide shipping and all sorts of crazy, you know, inside baseball stuff, where it's just like, oh yeah, like we are getting the ability to expand in ways that we couldn't before, right? And with the growth that we're seeing and the success that we're seeing,
So you weren't able to do the worldwide shipping before all this happened. That was something
we were, but like the fun thing is, hey, Embracer, would you believe it's a European company,
right?
And so being able to take advantage of a lot of those resources to be like, hey, what if we were starting to start shifting things around, and next thing you know,
all right, because and Embracer's origins are in retail. Like it starts like I believe like go all the way back to the beginning. The head of Embracer, whose name I'm forgetting off the top of my head, but like goes back to retail in Europe as like one of the cornerstones. So
yeah,
there's a certain synergy there for sure. All right. So last question would be it's a two-parter. It's an A and a B. A, do you have a personal physical like video game, Adam, or non-video game, but maybe a video game that means a lot to you? Can't be a limited run product. And then B would be, what's your favorite of sort of like the physical products that like your company we've has done. Put out while you've been
Okay. The first one I'm going to get a lot of heat for. I have a physical copy of Xenogears for the PlayStation 1. Patrick, my spoilers, my undergraduate and my unfinished graduate degree is in philosophy and religion.
Yeah, look, I love to kill God too.
Yeah, no, I played Xenogears at a very formative age that I was like, I should look into this philosophy thing. And then I played Final Fantasy VIII, and then things just went off the rails, and all of a sudden I was like, I think I'm that guy. And so those two games I have, and I hold them very dear to my heart, no matter how busted, broken, or unfinished they may be. Because it's like, no, this actually is what sent me not only into what I studied, but also really solidified like my love of games in general. Like I grew up, my first system was a Nintendo. I had Mario. I guess we're similar age. We had an NES in our house, right? And just putting hours into Mario 3, trying to memorize all the stupid card flip layouts, right? But what made me realize, oh, they can be more than just to use the really ridiculous adage, they can be more than just a game. Of all the games to say that about, yeah, Xenogears is the one that really just
hey, so Xenogears got a soft spot in my house, got big old mechs, you kill God. I mean, what else,
right?
What
literally
you want from a video game?
It's like, do you want to talk about the Zohar? Yeah, let's go, man. And then out of the ones that we've done, honestly, we did one of our initial ones that we did as a company, but before my time. I have an deep love and this incredible soft spot for Mike Bithell's Thomas Was Alone.
Sure, yeah.
And I have a physical, and I also have a vinyl of the soundtrack of that one. And that one just sits on my shelf, and everyone's like, what's that game about? And I was like, I'm very emotional about some very specific blocks. Like, it's... And they go, what are you talking about? And I was like, honestly, I think it's shorter if you just play the entire game. It takes a couple hours. Just do this and maybe you'll feel things too. out of our current stuff, we actually did collector's editions for Tetris Effect Connected. And because we are a snarky bunch, we obviously had to do those in the shape of the Tetris, the Tetrominoes.
Of course.
Tetrominoes, Tetrominoes. The Tetris pieces. Shipping them was fun for the shipping department because obviously we chose to do not the block. That'd be too easy. We did the L piece and the Z pieces. And so they were like, you couldn't have just done the line or the block. No. We have to make this as interesting as possible, obviously. And just so having those, I do actually have those displayed just because everyone's like, are those giant Tetris pieces on your shelf? And I was like, yes, they are. And I was like, they go, what are they for? And I was like, for Tetris, obviously. I don't know. Like, what did you, what answer were you expecting? but yeah, so no, there's just the many layers of me. It's like killing God in old JRPGs. And then, falling bricks and emotional shapes.
We all contain multitudes, John, you included. I appreciate you coming through, chatting with me, chatting with the Remap audience. I'm glad we had a chance to do this. Maybe we'll have a chance to circle back around when inevitably, you know, more shit hits the fan in terms of, because I think there's gonna be a lot of big moments going forward. And I think a lot of change is on the horizon. Happy to circle back and check back in when more of that happens. But thank you for coming through. Where should people go if they're interested in all y'all's stuff? Where would you point them to?
I would be remiss, and the other parts of the company would hang me if I didn't. If you guys could go to, let's get the voice on, if you go to limitedrungames.com, or if you're in the North Carolina area, the Limited Run retail store in Cary, that's obviously our website. We obviously also sell not just the games that we do the pre-orders on, but we also have our press run book line. Obviously, Jeremy Parrish has done a lot of his stuff through us. Being able to work with him has been fantastic. We just released a new book. They'll be happy that I'm throwing this one out there, called It's Not All Fun and Games, about the history of Midway, amongst other things. So if you want to know more about Blitz and Mortal Kombat and all sorts of stuff, you can obviously pick that one up on the website. And I think we have that one up on Amazon, too. If you want to, for whatever reason, follow me. I don't know. some people are like that. I've left X for a variety of reasons.
You're good. You don't have to explain that one anymore.
Yeah, no. I'm on Blue Sky as Hey, It's John, because my name's John Smith. I'm not going to get that. I'm not going to get that anywhere. just Hey, It's John. You can find me there where I just post through it and talk about how Like a Dragon made me cry last night because I saw Kiryu break down and I'm like, my man.
It's like, well, that's beautiful. That's beautiful.
It's like, honestly, I'm in touch with my emotions and I'm okay with that.
There you go. Especially once you have a kid, what are these? Look at these cheesy Hallmark commercials. Mm-hmm. Yeah, look at these cheesy Hallmark commercials.
Dude,
the kid's going to college.
I don't want to. Obviously, you guys haven't released it when we're recording this, the Godzilla Minus One pod. But I
that's
saw
a lot
that
of
movie
sadness.
I saw the movie for the first time when it did its black and white run, and the kid stuff. That hit me out of nowhere in a way that I was just like, oh, this is the movie we're watching.
I don't come to a kaiju movie to cry, and I came to that movie to cry.
And yet, just like,
yet they got me real bad.
They got
but.
Me.
Well, once again, thanks for coming through. Make sure to check out Limited Run Games if you're interested in what they're making. You can support what we're doing over at remapradio.com. And if you're listening to this interview, you're listening to it on the public feed of Remap, but we have lots of stuff that happens at the different tiers, movie podcasts. When I listen to Godzilla Minus One, you can sign up at remapradio.com and listen to us do that to talk about houses on HOA. I mean, we're a real eclectic bunch. Video games get you in the door, and then we do some weird stuff once you get inside the house, so to speak. So you can support all that and more over at remapradio.com.